This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
There's been a spike in children with COVID-19. We hit a record 250,000 new child virus cases in the past week, and the president has decided to lay down the hammer, requiring millions of American workers to get vaccinated against the coronavirus. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, thanks for hanging with us. It was a speech that all of a sudden came up late in the afternoon from the White House. The president said the path ahead, even with the Delta variant, is not as bad as last winter, but it's incredibly frustrating that we have the tools to combat COVID-19 and a distinct minority of Americans supported by a distinct minority of elected officials. That sort of name-calling without name-calling, if you know what I mean, are keeping us from turning the corner. So the executive orders and federal rules, the most expansive, I guess, actions that this president has taken to control the pandemic since he became the president, requires about 80% of American workers to get vaccinated. He says, our patience is wearing thin. The refusal has cost us all. So he's instructing the Occupational Safety and Health Administration to require all businesses, this could affect you or the people who employ you, with 100 or more workers to have the employees get vaccinated or undergo weekly testing. Also, all federal employees and contractors, which is about 4 million people, have to get vaccinated or they get fined and face other disciplinary measures. So companies will be able to offer workers paid time off to get vaccinated. They'll also require that all healthcare facilities receive Medicare or Medicaid if they do, vaccinate their 17 million employees. Large entertainment venues have to require proof of vaccination or a negative coronavirus test for entry. That affects a ton of people. So people that were going to ball games and thinking, woohoo, college football is back, baby. Oh, that's right. Professional football is back. The NFL is in full swing after the Thursday night game. Yeah, we're going to the game this weekend. Well, they're saying as of Friday, you got to look, meaning you have to know if people are vaccinated or not. And also the Defense Production Act is going to be used to ramp up the production of rapid testing kits and personal protective equipment. That's an aggressive new plan. And that's going to put pressure on private businesses and states and schools to require vaccines. So just the other night I was saying how this president hadn't done any of that. Now he's doing it, swinging the hammer. Is this fair or foul? What say you, America, or anyone else for that matter, listening outside of our borders? Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. You can always, always weigh in that way. A large number of employers like CVS Health, Goldman Sachs, Chevron, they already had some form of vaccine mandate in place. But there are many mandates that aren't comprehensive. You know, companies like Walmart and Citigroup have mandates for their corporate employees, but not for frontline workers in stores or at branches. So companies are going to have to deal with this. And they're dealing with labor shortages and a lot of people who have some vaccine hesitancy. What will this do to employment numbers? What's this going to do to them? It may make it that much worse. So then we go to scientists saying the odds are slim that all four of the CDC's new death cases from Kansas, California, Alabama, and Wisconsin resulted from COVID-19. There's research, because it's all about where did this happen, right? When did COVID-19 first arrive in the United States? They're investigating these four possible COVID deaths. in January 2020. So if that was confirmed, it would speed up the timeline of the virus's spread by several weeks. Previously, remember, the earliest suspected COVID-related fatality wasn't until February 6, 2020. But some research has indicated that the virus was likely spreading outside of China before mid-December 2019, so that would screw up the U.S. death timeline. I still think we need to get to the bottom of it. It can't be, oh, okay. Let's just put that off. I don't think it gets put off. I think that China needs to feel some pressure and needs to, frankly, allow lots of companies, lots of countries to be able to explore the idea of, okay, where did this come from? Where did this start? Let's trace this. Let's figure this out. And I don't know that we're ever going to know for sure. There's going to be conspiracy theories. There's going to be some grain of truth in some of the theories, and maybe some is just complete garbage, but we don't know at this point. And I think it's a big deal to know. That's why we have contact tracing when it comes to this virus. That's why there's quarantines. That's why there's so much of what's happening that happened at the start of this because of that reason. But in the here and now, this is happening. This is happening. So if you are unvaccinated and you work for a big company, beware, because you're going to have to get tested every single week or get the vaccine. If you work for the federal government, you have no choice. Even if you're a contractor, you can't refuse. You're stuck in the middle of this thing. So before, it was kind of cajoling and coercing, and we have concert tickets for you, we have money for you, oh, we have a lottery that we've set up, to more of the blame game. And that's the first time we've seen that squarely on this from the White House. That line, we've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin, and your refusal has cost us all. It's interesting. The president's approval ratings have fallen in the last couple of weeks. It shows with some of the polls that Americans are less supportive of his handling of the pandemic. And, of course, defeating the pandemic was one of his main promises when he was on the campaign trail. White House aides believe his ability to deliver it will be critical to the success of his presidency. And before you know it, within a blink of an eye, it's going to be about the next election. I can tell you, someone who's not happy, and he's not the only governor in this position, but Georgia Governor Brian Kemp is saying, get ready for the court challenges. Biden wasn't even finished, and he was already talking about pursuing every legal option available to the state of Georgia to stop what he called the blatantly unlawful overreach by the Biden administration. So you had some business leaders who were supportive of the plan, and then you had others that said, no. And this is the world that we live in, the yin and the yang, right? It is. I mean, will the new mandates do well in polarized environments? No. If you think that just half of Americans in a recent Washington Post ABC News poll supported the idea of businesses requiring employees to be vaccinated, there might be some people that are going to be looking for some highly skilled and qualified people because they lose them across the board. I think there will be more than subtle protests. Let's put it that way. Go to the man cave next.
Millions of Americans are preparing for food shortages. No wonder, with increasing bizarre news headlines, water shortages, and the trucking crisis, we're seeing the early warning signs. Food shortages can happen overnight, catching you completely by surprise. That's why it makes good sense to secure some emergency food kits while you can. Emergency food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage, unlike grocery store food that goes bad fast. The company to trust is My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families in recent years. Our food kits give you over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs under stress to survive. We ship fast and discreet to your door. You'll have your food within days, too, not weeks or months. Our mission is your survival. and our food could definitely be a lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. So don't wait. It's time to act. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Brought to you by Bank of America. A recent Bank of America survey found 61% of college students practice saving. However, just 45% create and stick to a budget. Budgeting is a critical lifelong skill and allows you to save strategically. Erin McCullen, Head of Deposit Products at Bank of America.
As a college student, it's all too easy to overspend and bust your budget. Every dollar counts when purchasing textbooks, restocking the fridge, or catching up with friends over dinner. When you head back to campus and activities ramp up, creating or updating your budget is critical. Also look for ways to start saving for the future, even if it's a small amount. Automatic saving tools like Bank of America's Keep the Change make it easy to incorporate savings into everyday college life.
Keep the Change rounds purchases made with a Bank of America debit card to the nearest dollar and transfers the change to a savings account. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/students.
I'm going to the man cave. Going to the man cave. Going to the man cave. I'm going to the man cave. Yeah, going to the man cave.
Here, we're at the door. Let's kick it open. Boom! That's pretty weak, boom. Anyway, just picture this. We're sitting around. We're talking about the start of the NFL season. That's a pretty big deal. The Bucks won sort of ugly against the Cowboys in the NFL opener, but they won, right? 31-29. That was the final score. So the end was about a kick. And the kick was good, and that's all it took. I mean, that's it. Just getting that kick at the tail end of the game with time pretty much ticking away. The hopes of the Cowboys winning it also were dashed. Ryan Succop, 36 yards. That was the field goal with 2 seconds left. So, whew. For Tampa Bay, they were thrilled. For the Dallas Cowboys, you know, they had great moments in that game. But a loss is a loss, and they're never going to be happy with a loss. If you watch Hard Knocks, you know that Mike McCarthy says that nothing is good enough unless you get all the way to the biggest game because you're trying to get to that second season, and that's what that's about. So Dak Prescott actually looks good. He threw for 403 yards and 3 touchdowns in his first game in 11 months. But his Cowboys lost. Tom Brady won instead, and he had a couple of interceptions, and he still threw for a lot of yards and looked fine in some moments where he needed to look poised. The bottom line, again, is the wins, is the wins, is the wins, because you got to add them up, and by the time you get to the end of the season, enough losses, and I predict the Cowboys will win the East. But enough losses, and that will not happen. All right, this is pretty exciting for teenagers and exciting for anyone who's a fan of tennis. You have Emma Raducanu and Layla Fernandez, who are going to be the two finalists for the U.S. Women's Open in an all-teen, all-unseeded final. Emma Raducanu was a qualifier, the first man or woman to be a qualifier in a tennis tournament. It's basically like the equivalent of a walk-on in pro football to make it all the way to the finals of an Open. Crazy, right? Unseated. The fans love it. I mean, screaming their names. It's got to be wild to walk in either one of their tennis shoes. I mean, it has to be. So it's the first, by the way, teen final since the 1999 U.S. Open when Serena Williams defeated Martina Hingis. Williams was 17. Martina Hingis was 18. Raducanu became the first qualifier to reach a Grand Slam final in the professional era by overwhelming the 17th seed in the tournament for the women, Maria Sakkari, 6-1, 6-4. How about that? So I'm telling you this because they're pretty much badasses. Watching them play, and I watched a bit of this, was, I have to say, pretty exciting. If you're a fan of the great game of tennis, then you'd be a fan anyway. But it was something pretty spectacular to see. Now, the big question on the men's side is what happens with the Joker? So will Djokovic end up winning yet another Grand Slam title? Novak Djokovic has been pretty interesting to watch, even if he drops a set here or there. He is rolling, and he is trying to get to another historic high. I mean, he's earned trophies on the Australian Open's hard courts in February, the French clay courts in June, and Wimbledon's grass courts. So it would be a grand slam if he were to win the U.S. Open. And one more slam title, meaning a major, will also break the career mark Djokovic currently shares with Roger Federer and Rafa Nadal. So lots of history being made with the great game of tennis. I think a lot of things are great these days, right? I do. And here's kind of what I would call, I would call this the extras when it comes to sports, just something that I found, a couple of things that I found interesting. You know, the looking at Major League Baseball, I mean, we're in the nitty-gritty of this. There are teams that they're definitely looking forward, and there are teams that are looking to land in the playoffs and are very, very close, but yet so far away. Because, I mean, this is where you're really digging in at this point. Otherwise, it's not going to be a race for a pennant, a race for a World Series, or anything else in between. There's a lot of conversation about COVID testing in sports. And Major League Baseball on Thursday denied Boston Red Sox outfielder Hunter Renfro's allegation that the league told the team to stop testing for COVID-19 because of the outbreak spreading through the clubhouse. Renfro was on a radio station, and he said, "They told us to stop testing and just treat the symptoms." And we were like, "No, we're going to figure out what's going on and try to keep this thing under control," because that's a problem when you start to have a breakout, a spread. As of Thursday, 9 people with the team tested positive for the virus. 11 others sidelined because of symptoms or close contact with positive cases. So some star players have it. The Red Sox are under the 85% vaccination threshold in their clubhouse, although some of the players who tested positive are vaccinated. Yeah, that's the worst when you get some of those. So Hunter Renfro saying that the Red Sox were told to stop testing. That's not good. Well, yeah, we don't need any more problems. Let's just not go there. Let's just not have any more testing. What? That's a disaster in the making. how many people could end up with COVID when that's not necessary in protecting people in and around that team, if that's true, what he said. The National League East, Atlanta Braves have a lock on it, but Philly's right on their heels, 3.5 games back. The Mets are 5 games back. In the Central Division, the Brew Crew on top, and the Reds the closest team to them, 12 games, however, behind them. The San Francisco Giants in the West on top, hanging on narrowly because the Dodgers are right there. They're just 2.5 games back. That's an interesting division to watch. In the American League East, the Rays, the Tampa Bay Rays, are on top, and the Red Sox, this is the whole COVID thing, 9 games behind. In the American League Central, the White Sox are on top, and the Indians have not a comfortable edge at all, 10 games behind them. The Houston Astros in the West are on top, and the Mariners are 5.5 games behind them, as are the Oakland A's. And then there's those other teams that are so far back, no way, any kind of math, magical or otherwise, that you try to figure out will not work on, for example, teams like the Colorado Rockies, 26.5 games back in the National League West, or the Pirates in the Central, 35.5 games back. It's one thing to make up, 5, 6, even 7 games. But when you're talking in the 30s and then you do the math on the timeline and figure out the opponents, forget about it. It's not happening. No, it's a house of cards. It's not happening. And with the protocols and everything else in between, that's what's made for such an interesting scenario of what the setup could be once September is through and we know who's definitely in and who's definitely out. Speaking of being in or out, how about Ben Simmons, the former number one pick? He was the number one pick, wants to be traded. And the 76ers want to trade him. So why doesn't that happen? Does anyone want Ben Simmons? It was like he was cursed in the playoffs every time he got to the line. He is a good player, but he needs a change of scenery, and I think that would help him build even more confidence. I mean, he certainly has the wallet, but you know what? If you're playing in that league, you want the ring. You want the ring. All right, Mike Wolf is in our virtual green room. He's joining us next.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
President Biden announced a multifaceted plan on Thursday to combat the continuing COVID pandemic. The largest part of his plan involved new federal vaccine requirements that would have all employers with 100 or more employees mandate that their people get vaccinated or test negative for the virus at least once a week. During his remarks, the president said his policy was about protecting Americans first and foremost.
We need to do more. This is not about freedom or personal choice. It's about protecting yourself and those around you, the people you work with, the people you care about, the people you love. My job as president is to protect all Americans.
The Republican National Committee says it will sue the administration when the president's executive order goes into effect. You're listening to USA Radio News. U.S. Customs and Border Protection will soon release the number of illegal immigrant apprehensions that occurred at the southern border in August. That number is expected to be around 190,000, down slightly from a 21-year high in July. Congressman Chip Roy says it's hard to visualize those numbers unless you see them for yourself. The Texas Republican tells Fox News about a recent trip he took to the border with Senator Ted Cruz and the movement of people he witnessed.
The number of people coming in between the ports of entry are enormous. Senator Cruz and I were at a checkpoint, and we sat in a scanning booth looking at trucks as they come through. And they can only get like 1 out of 10 or 20 of those trucks. 30 minutes after we left that booth, we went down to the river. We saw 33 illegal immigrants that were just sitting on the other side of the river waiting to come across, being led by a cartel leader. We then got an image from one of the Border Patrol agents showing us 29 immigrants in the back of a truck that were caught with one of those scans that Senator Cruz and I had just been looking at. That was all in the matter of a couple of hours while we were sitting in Laredo.
This is you.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's
important right now. Mike Wolf is in our virtual green room, and he's written a book called Business Recovery in Difficult Times, and we're excited to talk to him. Mike, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You and I had a conversation off the air, and you the statistic still jumps out at me. In fact, I have it written on my desk in front of me because I work with a lot of entrepreneurs. You say 85% of small businesses fail. Wow. Why do 85% of small businesses fail?
Well, that's been one really good question that's always puzzled me. We always hear about this high failure rate, 85% of small businesses fail in the first 5 years. I could never quite understand that. So, you know, given all the help, the education, the resources that are available in the country. So in 2012, I began to research the reasons for this, and after hundreds of interviews, my findings were generally close to the statistics. I found that 48% failed for various reasons, price and cost issues, workforce problems, poor marketing, and so on. But a good 40% struggle with money management, and well over half of everyone I've ever interviewed does not know how to read a profit and loss statement. I also found that many of these people are smart in math and comfortable with numbers. It just doesn't add up. I also researched small business failure in other countries for a comparison, and in many other countries like Japan, and especially in Asia and the East, the failure rates are less than half of ours. So why is this? Well, much of it's cultural. We rely on banks, and Japanese small business owners are supported by their families. They're more disciplined, more humble, more respectful in their business affairs. and then generally, better educated. So, as you know, the U.S. is not a humble country. We know everything there is to know, and you can't teach us anything. I also observe one other commonality that is a problem in our country, Kate, and that is the Easterners manage business and money very, very differently. Their business management methodology is easier to understand, much easier to use, with far less stress. It's safer and more accurate, and there's no guesswork that goes on in our American system every day. If I didn't write this book, there's a good chance that our struggling small business community would never have the opportunity to learn a different and much better way to operate.
I love that in a nutshell. So, of course, you can get the book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, again, Business Recovery in Difficult Times. But what? Give us a little snapshot, something that right now people listening can take away. What can we do right now?
Well, let's think. I think there are three things you can do. Three takeaways. Number one, own your own business. What is that? Don't turn everything over to your accountant thinking they will take care of it. They won't. Accountants make mistakes. They work in QuickBooks, and QuickBooks and other accounting software is built on something called the GAAP system. After the U.S. financial system that the crash of 1930, GAAP was invented by the government for easy tax reporting purposes. This has been our training in our business schools all the way to the top 10 universities. And the U.S. embraces something called the GAAP system, generally accepted accounting principles. It might be a great and easy way for the IRS take on tax reports. But in my opinion, it's almost useless for everyday business decision making. So in the U.S., we focus on marketing with sales revenue coming into the checkbook to pay expenses. And after all the bills are paid, net profit is hopefully what's left. That's how we're trained to think. And that's the problem. So the takeaway, don't give everything to your accountant. They're going to make mistakes.
Right.
Check on their work. Get second opinions. It's your money and your company. Own it or someone else will. Secondly, I guess, is don't live on assumptions. If you have the attitude that this doesn't concern me right now and somehow it'll all work out, that's not a good notion. Get rid of it as fast as you can. For most small business owners, it won't somehow all work out, and it'll be too late when you finally realize it, right?
Yeah.
And then I guess the third thing is explore humbly. Check your experiences at the door. Explore without an agenda. By reorganize. Here's the whole thing. By reorganizing the exact same numbers that are currently in your financial statements and putting the right income and the right expenses in the right places at the right time for all the right reasons, you're going to get different profit results, a different tax picture, and a quick recovery if things don't go as planned. Be humble enough to explore with an open mind and bring small business owners to a fast recovery in unforeseen, unexpected situations.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Such great advice. I mean, you're right. I don't know. I know some very successful people that started small, and I think they made a lot of the mistakes you said. They've made them along the way.
Well, here's the other thing. It used to be when I grew up, I believe that every business owner must become a millionaire owning their businesses. Being a millionaire used to be a lifestyle, but today it's no longer an option. If you save $3,500 a month for 15 years without missing a month, and obviously what small struggling business owner does this, you would end up with $1 million. Now, if you invest those $1 million and got a return of 5%, if you're lucky, you'd have $50,000 a year. After taxes, well, you take home $40,000 a year. Divide that by 12 months, and you have $35,000. Yeah, and you'd have the same $3,500 that you saved every month.
Yeah.
I'm not in any way saying that you shouldn't save. you should always save. But if assisted living will someday cost you $6,000 a month, where's the rest of the money going to come from?
Right.
And don't tell me Social Security, because that won't happen, right?
Right.
So I guess, you know, at some point, everyone who owns a business will be faced with a decision. Do I sell my business, lease it out, gift it to a family member, close it and walk away, or do I keep on going until I'm no longer able to manage it? So I always ask this question: how much could, would, should my business pay me every single month for not showing up except by choice while it continues to grow without me? The book will give you all of these and many other answers.
Yeah. Was it fun for you to write this book? What was that like?
No, it was terrible. It was awful. I was screeching and crying with every stroke of the pen. Anyway, but writing a book is never easy. But you know what? It's satisfying. It really isn't easy, but satisfying. There are 31 answers to questions that keep small business owners up at night. And it's all in the book. You know, how much should I pay myself? How much should I pay my employees? When can I give my employees a raise and how much? How big should my company be? What's my time worth? How much should my line of credit be? All of that, when I look back, that's the satisfying. To be able to answer those questions, that's the most satisfying, really. Yeah. And that was what made it worth it.
Yeah. And I love it, too, that, you know, really, in difficult times. This is a difficult time, isn't it?
It's impossible time. I don't know how anybody's doing it. I don't know how I'm doing it.
Yeah, it is. It's a different time.
Well, the rules are changed, and nobody knows what the rules are.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. This has survived what's in here has survived 5 decades. It's survived tsunamis. Businesses survived tsunamis with this. They survived 9/11 and all of the crazy things, the housing crash.
Yeah.
They've used these tools to survive all of those times. And COVID is no different. I mean, it really isn't. You think so. It affected the whole world. Well, yeah, sure. I mean, it's terrible,
right.
but it's still a financially proven, tested system throughout the world. It's been used in other countries, and it works, and it is working for people that are using it today.
Yep. Perfect place to end this. Get the book. There's no question about it. Business Recovery in Difficult Times. Mike Wolf, thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
SuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs, so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Millions of Americans are preparing for food shortages. No wonder, with increasing bizarre news headlines, water shortages, and the trucking crisis, we're seeing the early warning signs. Food shortages can happen overnight, catching you completely by surprise. That's why it makes good sense to secure some emergency food kits while you can. Emergency food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage, unlike grocery store food that goes bad fast. The company to trust is My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families in recent years. Our food kits give you over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs under stress to survive. We ship fast and discreet to your door. You'll have your food within days, too, not weeks or months. Our mission is your survival, and our food could definitely be a lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. So don't wait. It's time to act. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Iris Angelis joins us in Australia right now. She's in our virtual green room, and she has written a game-changing book, seriously. This title pretty much says it all, Passion to Thrive, Reclaim Your Life's Potential, Purpose, Passion, and Power. Who doesn't want that? Iris, thanks so much for coming on.
It's such a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
I do really honestly love the way you laid out that title, because that does say it all. What led you to writing this book?
What led me to, the inspiration I got was I read a couple of pages by somebody else on these themes that I'm talking about, and then it was like this insight and knowledge just spontaneously dropped in, and it would not let me go until I started writing it. So I started writing these things down, and then the next lot of information would come in and would write that down. And what it made me realize was that women in particular have all these ways they can be and move in the world that we just don't access. It's there, but we just don't access it. And the inspiration behind the interviews in my book, so I've interviewed 7 women on different themes that are woven all through the book, came from me telling somebody I know and love very dearly that I was writing this book, and she said, well, if you need somebody to interview, I'll be happy to be interviewed by you for it. So the richness of the book comes from these 7 women who have shared their stories so authentically as well.
What was the biggest surprise in pulling all this content together, research, interviews? What was the biggest surprise for you?
The biggest surprise for me, I think, was finding that I myself had all these gifts and access to all these different energies and way of being in the world that I hadn't ever really been aware of in this way before. So I guess like most people, I sort of had a, you know, a way of doing things that I thought was working for me. But in actually writing this book, all of a sudden I realized that there was so much more, that I could explore in my own life.
So you write the book, and as I said, the title, you can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold, Passion to Thrive, Reclaim Your Life's Potential, Purpose, Passion, and Power. You write the book, and it's got a lot of these tidbits that we talked about that are so important. And I feel like let's give the people that are listening, before they run out and buy your book, let's give them a little taste of what they can expect. What can people do right now to move the needle, so to speak, on what's happening in their world?
What I encourage people to do is to approach life not as a fixed thing, but as something that's really malleable and something they can play with. You know, let's get more play into the world, right? We're all so serious all the time. So just start by changing little things in your life. You know, change to a different type of tea in the morning, or start wearing a color clothes that you haven't worn before. Start exploring doing something that you thought, oh, I might want to do that one day, but you just haven't given yourself permission. It's in those tiny little incremental changes that we find that change doesn't have to be scary. And it might even be fun. And, you know, if you don't like it, just do something else. And in doing so, we're empowering ourselves to play more and be in the world in different ways from what we have been so far. And there's a real magic that lies in that incremental change. And when you can do little change, then you can do bigger change. And all of a sudden, you're living a life that is amazing. And it's probably very different from what you thought it would look like. But who cares if you're really, really feeling a lot of joy with it?
Oh, I so agree with that. So for you, what's been the biggest change that's happened to you after writing this book?
The change in me was that I've gone from being somebody who was in the world in a very masculine way, so very driven, striving, focused, organized, on time, you know, really strict and disciplined with myself, to giving myself permission to be more, so be more creative, just allow the creativity to flow and just do it purely because it gives me joy and pleasure and fills me up. Give myself permission to rest more, because I'm so much better when I'm rested, right, to show up for the rest of my life. Give myself permission to just spend time with my girlfriends, because it nurtures me and they delight me, and sometimes they say something, it's like, oh, that was exactly the piece I needed, to kind of step further forward into whatever it is I was stuck with. So I've moved from a space of like doing the entire time into a space of where I can allow myself to just be and draw the nurture from that. And then the doing becomes informed by the being. So it's much more in alignment with who I am and what I feel like I'm meant to be doing in the world.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's powerful. When people read the book, what do you hope their takeaways are from reading the book?
I hope the takeaway is that, that everybody knows that they have choice in how they show up in the world, right? We were all taught stuff as we were growing up. And that might have been what we needed to know at the time, but it's not the be all and end all, right? We've got taught certain things. But there are other ways of being in the world, you know, like look at somebody who's achieved or done something that you really admire and maybe copy some of what they do. You know, you don't have to reinvent the wheel all the time. Just go, oh, well, guess what? They meditate for 5 minutes a day. Maybe I'll do that, or whatever it is. And the second thing is for people to realize that they themselves carry a unique frequency and a way of experiencing the world that is absolutely irreplaceable and irreproducible. So to find how to be that frequency and how to offer their particular gift to the world, because to me that is how we can live the lives that are the most fulfilling, the most meaningful, the most authentic, not necessarily the easiest. But then if you compromise on your soul, then that's not a nice life to live. So how you can be in the most alignment with your soul.
Oh, yeah. Again, the title, Passion to Thrive, Reclaim Your Life's potential, purpose, passion, and power. Do you think that's what happens? People have this potential and somehow it gets doused, or other people sort of pull them away from it or tell them they can't do it, and they listen too much to people that might be well-meaning, that are close to them in their lives, but the, I think it's like crabs. They try to pull you down if you start to get an edge. Do you think that happens to a lot of people?
Oh, absolutely. Like, basically, there are two ways we can show up in the world. Like, one is coming from fear, which is the predominant way of being. Oh, don't do this because it could go wrong. Or, oh, this other person I know did that, and, you know, this is the terrible thing that happened to them. But if we can drop into our heart and come from a place of love, and that's love for ourselves and love for everybody else as well, our heart will tell us what we can do, and it might not be easy, but it's always going to be the most rewarding and the most authentic. And ultimately, if you look at it at the end of your life, are you going to regret not doing what it was your heart was passionate about? Or are you going to regret, you know, oh, I wish I'd spent another day at the office, you know? Like, if you look at it from the perspective of the end of your life, what do you want your life to have been like? It makes it a very simple choice, really.
Yeah, as to what direction you're going to go into. I know that you're working on another book, and you don't certainly have to tell us a lot of details, but I think it's exciting. So give us kind of a glimpse into that as well.
So the first book is mostly about for women and how for them to reclaim and step into their power, passion, purpose, and potential. The second one is about how to weave the divine masculine and the divine feminine into our lives. So if we can have a balanced internal masculine and feminine, it means that at any given point in time, we have access to the different ways those two energies are in the world. And that means that we can kind of have economy of movement, so we can do the one thing that will basically get us to where our heart desires us to go. The most easily and the most readily. There's a lot more to it than that, but that was the original kernel of the, like, the image I got in my mind was, you know, the yin-yang symbol?
Sure.
I saw the yin-yang symbol as a sphere, and kind of living right in the middle of the sphere, so there's access to whatever you need at any given point in time.
Yeah, well, that sounds good, too. And again, certainly roads lead to passion to thrive, reclaim your life's potential, purpose, passion, and power. You can get that again, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Iris, thanks so much for coming on.
Such a pleasure. Thank you so much, Kate.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.